Did Israel reject Jesus Christ 1900 years ago? This is part two. It is common doctrine among the professing Christian churches today to teach that the children of Israel rejected Jesus Christ when he came to them 1900 years ago, and then Christ's disciples had to turn and go to a non-Israel people in order to take a church out for this Christian era. And one of the most popular or most used verses of Scripture in which they read or quote to prove that the Israelites rejected Christ is John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, in part one, we went right on and read next two verses, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So John added these qualifying statements which make it obvious that Jesus Christ was not rejected by everyone, but some men and women received him, and they became or were given power to become the sons of God. As we continue to read on in John's Gospel, we find that many of these people in Israel, called the Jews, believed upon the Messiah. Among them, of course, the 11 of his disciples, thousands more as the months went by. There were great multitudes who came to him in Judea and Galilee and worshipped him, at least 5,000 at one place where he fed them. And several times we read the phrase about the Jews who believed Jesus Christ, and they believed that he was the Messiah. But as we read these, we also found that some Jews, people called Jews from the word Judeans, hated him. And then we find in John 8, starting in verse 37, Jesus speaks to those who hated him, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." And then the beginning of verse 41, he says, "Ye do the deeds of your father." And then he continued speaking to them in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil." And verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So we obviously have two different kinds of people, all of them called Jews, but some believe in Jesus, and some not only disbelieve him, but hate him and attempted to kill him. Now we saw that the Old Testament tells us that God is the Father of Israel. He calls Israel my firstborn. In fact, he told Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go, and he says, "Let my son go, that he may worship me." And he says, "Israel is my firstborn." So here we have Jesus admitting to these Jews who hated him that ye are Abraham's seed, and then he says to the same people that they were not Abraham's children in verse 39, and to the same ones he said, "Ye are of your father the devil." What a riddle. Who in the world could claim to be Abraham's seed but not Abraham's children, and Christ said they were not of God but of the devil? Let's go on in John. In chapter 9, there is a healing which the Jewish Pharisees were made angry by and objected to there. And then in John 10, these Jews again came to Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to them in verse 11 of John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, sometimes today, if you follow the doctrine taught by the churches, you would think there are two folds. One is called the Gentile church, and the other is called the Jews, whom they say are Israel. But Jesus said, he has other sheep which are not of this fold, but he's going to make one fold out of them. And, of course, there would be one shepherd then. Verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. So we see continually, as Jesus continues to preach, the people are being divided. The Judeans, here translated Jews, are being divided. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. This would have to be the Jews or Judeans who did not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, these people who did not believe, Christ said, not only are you not of God, you are not of my sheep. Now, someone obviously is Jesus' sheep, because he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and I know them. So let's turn back to the Old Testament, to the Psalms, and let's find out about the people called in the Old Scriptures sheep, or God's sheep. In Psalm 78, in verse 51 and 52, he's recounting the history of the bringing of the Israel people out of Egypt. And he says, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people, that would be Israel, to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Psalm 79, in verse 9, the Israel people are praying, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Verse 13, so we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Turn to Psalm 95, in verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And there are 25 times in the Old Scriptures that the Israel people are called the flock of God. Other places where they're called sheep, which I won't read, but you might want to look up yourself, or 2 Samuel 24:17, 1 Kings 22:17, Psalm 44:22, several more times in Psalms, Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7, and so on. Turn with me to Jeremiah 50. This is the prophecy of the destruction of Babylon, and of course the eventual release of the Israel people from bondage. In verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. The shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And here he is speaking in prophecy of the Israel people being scattered out of the places of their captivity, which would be the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity. And he says they have turned them away upon the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. In scriptural symbolism, this means they're passing through the nations. They've been driven away and scattered. Verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. In other words, these were the captivities where Israel was taken captive and then scattered as what? As sheep, as a flock. So God scattered them because of their sins, but God made a promise. In Jeremiah 31, and this is the same chapter where the Israel people are promised the new covenant, and in verse 10 I read this, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. Now this was something for all of the world to know, not just the Israel people, but all of the world. And say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. So Israel was to be gathered as sheep, just as they were sheep in the old scripture when they were scattered. Turn to another prophet, Ezekiel, chapter 34. And this is quite a long one. I'll read just a few of the verses. But here again, scattered, dispersed Israel is given a promise by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks. Verse 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now remember, this is a prophecy, not of something that was to happen long after Christ came. This was a prophecy given after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, where Israel was already scattered 500 years before Christ came. Verse 13, And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, the nations of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. So here is this promise again. I will search out, I will seek out my sheep, my Israel people. He gives further promises and then concludes in the last two verses, Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So when this is all done, Israel would know they were God's people. And he had come to them like what? Like sheep scattered, and he would come as a shepherd. Now let's turn over to the New Testament. Matthew 10, this is in the instruction of Jesus Christ to the disciples. Verse 6, Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then Matthew 15 and verse 24, Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke 19, Jesus is speaking again of his people, and here we have Zacchaeus in verse 5. Jesus saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And then he speaks to him, and Zacchaeus was an Israelite. Verse 9 and 10, And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forsomuch as he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus went to Zacchaeus because he was an Israelite, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in the New Testament, the followers of Christ are called a flock, 8 times, including many other references to them as sheep. So we have the combination of the Old Testament and the New Testament promise that God was to seek out his sheep, Israel. Jesus Christ, when he came, said he came to the sheep of Israel, and thousands of these sheep of Israel, as we've already seen, believed on him. But this same Christ turned and said to some of the people called Judeans or Jews, who were right there among those who believed, but they did not believe, And Jesus said they were not only not his sheep, but that their father was the devil. And I repeat again, where in the world did we get this idea that those Judeans, called Jews in the New Testament, who hated Christ and did not believe on him, were the same as the sheep of Israel who did believe upon him? We have two different kinds of people, and the only way you can tell them apart is the way they react to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was someone else, not Israel, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to John and continue reading right on in the Gospel of John. Since we've established that the Israel people were the sheep, Christ came to the sheep of Israel, and yet he told the unbelieving Jews, "Ye are not of my sheep, as I told you." Turn to John 10, verse 26. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And what happened after he preached that little sermon to them? Verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." This other part of the Jews, or the Judeans, they want to kill him. But Jesus went right on preaching in that area, and in verse 39 it says, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of his hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there." Here we go again, right as he keeps on preaching. We have those of the Jews who want to kill him. We have those of the Jews who do what Israel was supposed to do. "My sheep hear my voice." And they believed on him. Now, since the population of Judea, all called Jews by the translators, I remind you, the word translated Jews in the New Testament, in every case, comes from a Greek word meaning Judean. It is a geographical name. So we have Jews who believe, or Judeans who believe, and Jews who do not believe, or Judeans who do not believe. So let's see if we can answer the riddle that I posed before. Who could claim to be Abraham's seed, but Christ said they were not Abraham's children, even though he admitted they were Abraham's seed? Who could claim Abraham as a father, and at the same time, Jesus said they had the devil as their father? Let's go back to the book of beginnings. Genesis 16. And see if we can find if in the Bible there are people who could have been living in Judea at the time of Christ who would fit all of this. Genesis 16. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai." Verse 3, "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife." Verse 15, "And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael." Genesis 17, starting in verse 18. "And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." And by the way, in this verse 20, he says, 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. If you will look at a map in any modern magazine on world politics, you will find there are 12 Arab nations over on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. The fulfillment of God's prophecy to Ishmael and Hagar is the 12 nations of modern-day Arab states. God has fulfilled them. But, he said, my covenant will I establish with Isaac. So, Sarah then, of course, drove Hagar away when she realized God had promised that he would make a covenant not with Ishmael. He would make Ishmael a great nation, but he would not make the covenant that he had promised to Abraham with Ishmael. It would be made with her son. In Genesis 21, starting in verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And that word called is used throughout the Old Testament, as you know, to indicate those whom God would call. In Isaac shall thy seed be what? The called of God, the ones who would come to God. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So here we have a great group of people descendant from Ishmael, the Arab people of today. And God said, I will do certain things with them because they are Abraham's seed. But the calling of the Israel people, down through the Israel people, would not come through Ishmael. So we have there a group of people who are not the called of God. They are not Israelites. They are not called the firstborn of God. They are not God's sheep. They are what we know today as the modern Arab nations, the descendants of Ishmael. And by the way, if you've ever heard or read material from the Palestinian Arab delegation or some of the other Arabs who are involved with the United Nations and with the governments of the Arab nations, they know they are descendants through Abraham and Ishmael. They put it right in their writings. They know who they are, and they, in the last approximately 5 years, and the news media has almost been completely silent on this, they have driven out of Arab lands practically all of the Jews. They are doing to the Jews, apparently today, what Hitler's Germany did in the late 30s. They are forcing them to leave the nations. In Jewish newspapers, I find them talking about the handful of Jews left in Damascus and in other cities. They're being forced out of Ishmael's land. Turn to Genesis 22, and here's the first two verses of the call of God to place Isaac on the altar as a sacrifice. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here God calls Isaac Abraham's only son, thine only son. This Isaac then had two sons, twins. Turn to Genesis 25. And Isaac, verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over, like an hairy garment, and they called him Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when he bare them. So here we have two sons of Isaac to follow in the covenants with Abraham. And they would be, of course, in Bible symbolism or use of words, the seed of Abraham. And both of them as natural heirs, with Esau being the eldest. Esau was the firstborn, but Esau sold his birthright. Verse 30, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, and most Bibles will tell you that the word Edom means red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau was the firstborn, remember. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Esau apparently did not believe in the power of God to save him. And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. In chapter 27 of Genesis, we find that Jacob also got the blessing by trickery, but it was in God's purpose, because God was not about to give the blessing of Isaac to Esau, because Esau had already despised and sold the birthright. Esau had no claim upon the birthright at all. Then turn to Genesis 28. Esau has already lost birthright. He has lost the blessing. He is, in effect, outside of the covenant, although he is still the seed of Abraham. Genesis 28, verse 8. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, and it gives the names of these, so his first wives were Ishmaelites. Then Genesis 36. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom, in other words, who is red. Esau took his wives of the daughter of Canaan. So Esau, this man who despised and sold his birthright, who lost any claim to the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has now gone and married Canaanite wives. Verse 8. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Esau is red. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. Verse 43, he is Esau, the father of the Edomites. By the time of Jesus, 2,000 years later, or somewhere between 50 and 60 generations, after this event in Genesis 36, Esau's descendants would be at least 99.9% of the blood of Canaan, because Esau went to live among the Canaanites. And that would mean, and seems to have been fulfilled in further Bible historical writings, that Esau's children married Canaanites and his children's children. So by the time that Jesus came along, these people would have been practically full-blooded Canaanites, yet they could still claim that Abraham was their father, and of course they would also say that they had never been in bondage to any man. In John 8, these Jews who did not believe Jesus said in verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Verse 37, Jesus said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. The reason Jesus Christ's word had no place in these people is because they were the descendants of Edom, the descendants of Esau. They had lost the covenant right way back when Esau sold it to Jacob Israel. And these were Esau's descendants, the bastard offspring of Esau and the Canaanites. And of course they had never been in bondage to any man, because Esau's Canaanitish descendants did not go into Egypt with Jacob's descendants. They did not go into the Assyrian captivity with the northern 10 tribes, and if you read this close enough in the history, you will realize they did not go into captivity in Babylon either, because they were the Babylonians. They were the Canaanites who had the Babylonian Empire. So when people in Palestine at the time of Christ could say to Jesus, "We are Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man," and Jesus would say, "I know you're Abraham's seed, but my word has no place in you," he could only have been talking to the descendants of Esau, Edom, who were the Canaanites. They could claim Abraham as their father, and Jesus did not deny it. Now, how do we know, in reading the scripture, or even today, which is which? Well, Jesus told us in Matthew 7, "By their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, by the way they react to the Word of God, by the way they react to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way we can tell. Who was to hear? Israel was to hear. Who would not hear? The people who were from Abraham but had lost the birthright because they were the descendants of Esau. Turn to John 10. Now, when you read these verses and understand that Jesus Christ is speaking to the descendants of Esau, Edom, who lived in Judea, and therefore were called Judeans, translated by the King James translators, Jews, then you can understand why he says these things. Verse 26 and 27 of John 10, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And then the other side of the coin, "My sheep, my Israel people, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let's go right on in John. I know some people may listen to me this far and still not understand or not believe that there were Edomite Canaanites called Jews at the time of Christ. In John 11, Lazarus had died, and then Jesus came, and I read in verse, starting in verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" So here we have more people called Judeans, Jews, who said Christ could have saved this man from dying. What is that? That's belief in Christ, right? Remember, the other Jews who hated him became angry in speaking of miracles. Verse 45, "After Lazarus was raised, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." Who were these? These could only be the Israelites who were Judeans, not the Edomites who were also Judeans. A dozen times in John, at least, I have read that from anywhere from one to several thousand Jews believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ for his word, for the word of others, for miracles, or in some sort of preaching. And it can only be the brainwashed ones who can quote John 1:11 and say, "Oh, he came to his own and they received him not." The Jews rejected Jesus and he had to turn to non-Israelite people. John himself gives us tremendous record that Israelites by the thousands believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read right on in John 11. These next verses here are highly significant. "But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation." The Jewish Pharisees the Edomites, the descendants of Canaan, called Jews in the New Testament, who by their fruits indicate they are Canaanites because they did not believe Jesus, realize that if the other people in Jerusalem and Judea began to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they would lose their power. Now I ask you today, in Christendom, in America, is there a people called Jews today who are fearful of the gospel of Christ, who continue to work night and day to stop the preaching of Jesus Christ in this land, who try to prevent Christian people from being elected to politics, who try to prevent Christian people from hearing the truth of God's word? Why? Because they say, oh, we have been persecuted by the Christians. That is an admission that when God's Israel people begin to hear and believe God's word, they drive out the Canaanite Jews, and the Canaanite Jews know it. And way back here at the time of Christ, the Pharisees, these Edomite Jews, got together and says, why, if the people start believing on Jesus, the Romans will come and we'll lose our place, we'll lose our power over the people. I want to close by reading something about America. Now, I'm going to continue next week because history is repeating itself. Here in America, it's just a short list of the people called Jews, whom I believe, by their fruits, prove they are the descendants of Esau, Edom. They are Canaanites. They're still called Jews because they never have been converted to be called Christians, as the Israel people are now called. Quote, the following are the Jews who now hold down top posts in the federal government. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State and Chief of National Security. James Schlesinger, Secretary of Defense. Arthur Burns, or Burnside, Chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank and Controller of All American Credit and Currency. Caspar Weinberger, Head of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and Controller of All U.S. Medicine, Hospitals, and Education. Alan Greenspan, head of the National Economic Council, controls all U.S. government spending. William Seidman, chief economic advisor to the president. He tells the president what to say about economics. George K. Bernstein, federal insurance administrator. He handles all the insurance that protects banks from going bankrupt. Ron Messon, presidential press secretary. He makes all of the president's appointments with the press. And Milton Friedman, senior speechwriter for the president. He writes all the speeches for the president. Have we got a situation in America today similar to old Palestine? I believe we have. And they are there primarily because the Christian people do not understand that at Christ's time in Judea, there were Judeans who were Israelites who heard God's word. There were Judeans who were Canaanites who hated the Lord Jesus Christ, and still do today. Verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. I believe that is a truth of today, that if Jesus Christ is preached in America, the rest of Christendom, God's true Israel will hear, and what will happen? They will take away the place and control of the Edomite Jews, the Rebs, over this nation and the rest of Christendom. God willing, we're going to go on next week in the rest of John. There is more to this that gives the lie to the statement that Israel rejected Christ 1900 years ago. They did not. They followed him, and they are today. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we pray that as this age draws to a close, that you will bring to pass those things that thou hast promised, that you will turn us, as thy people, the sheep of thy pasture, to believe upon you, that the kingdom may come and the kingdom may be cleansed of the Canaanites in the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.